mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it. She's
my fragile psyche cannot handle the back and forth and back and forth and pull and push and yay and nay, okay? I need some consistency in information. What am I talking about? Miles Garrett, guys. I thought the Miles Garrett train had left the station. I thought the Miles Garrett thing was a done deal, that Cleveland was holding on, and that he was not going to be available for teams like the Green Bay Packers, who are looking to upgrade their pass rush. Maybe I was wrong. Because yesterday, Miles Garrett said, I want out. Get me out of here. The lady from Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
I always confuse them. Mister!
Just killed the Mista lady.
Get me out of here!
Thank you. Yes, that's Miles
but
Garrett.
Much like the Mista lady, I don't think she ever got out of there.
That's true. She was stuck.
And I think Miles Garrett might be stuck.
Weren't we talking about selfishness yesterday?
Probably.
Aren't we talking about selfishness to some extent every day?
Yeah, but is that a douche move to ask for a trade because
your team stinks?
Yeah. Isn't it kind of like, I'm better than all of you, I want out of here? Even though it might be true.
Well, I believe the first play was, if you guys are as committed to championships as I am, let's do this thing. Let's make it work. And Miles Garrett likely looked around and went, they're not making it work. They are not as interested in winning a championship as I am. Therefore, I got to get up out of here.
Gee, I think that's dumb. Because they screwed up royally on one player. They screwed up royally on one player because
kind of a big player.
Yeah, it's kind idiot of owner got involved. You know?
Think he's going to stop doing that?
Idiot owner who also owns
the Bucks.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted someone to mention it.
Yeah, but I don't go to my dentist and say, hey, could you give me a stock tip? What should I do here? You know, leave the decisions to the experts, to the people that know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, but right? if your dentist started giving you stock tips, wouldn't you want to get out of there? Or would you just stick around because that's the right thing to do?
If he cleans good teeth, I don't have a problem with it.
Man, I got to be honest.
Just ignore the
other
stuff.
I thought Gabe had you dead to rights there.
No,
I did.
He can always get out of it.
No, I can look right past a lot of stuff. Yeah, I can look past a lot of stuff, you know? Because I have a lot of friends that are weird that people think I don't have a problem with it. Weird is kind of interesting to me. I'd rather have weird than dull.
For sure.
Right?
I mean, you kind of fit into that category.
Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll. Would you rather have weird or dull? Now back to Miles Garrett. So Miles Garrett says he wants out. And now, of course, you got the Green Bay Packers who are absolutely in need of an upgrade to their pass rush. Show of hands, who thinks Miles Garrett would upgrade the Packers' pass rush? Anybody? Anybody? Chewy, are you raising your hand? There you go. Get it in the screen, buddy. There you go.
Get both hands up.
Doing
there, big
the sign
guy.
Of the cross there.
Are you praying?
Yes.
You're praying for Miles
it's
Garrett?
It's time to pray, Gabe.
I'll pray for Miles Garrett with you. We can do that after the show.
Amen. That's what was happening there in Florida this morning. So we all agree that Miles Garrett would be an upgrade. Do we all agree that this is something that Brian Gutekunst should do? Chew?
Is there a follow-up question? Yes, he should pursue it. How's that? He should pursue it.
I'm going to ask if he will later, but let's focus on this one right now.
He should pursue it, yes. Kick the tires. Well, it's coming. I'm holding my tongue.
Well, just let it out. Let the cat out of the bag.
There's been one major trade in 30-something years that the Packers has done. Can you name that trade?
Brett.
Thank you. Have they done it since?
No.
Thank you. There's my answer.
So you're saying
these publications drive me absolutely crazy the point where no. But I'm just like, I can't read, which one is it? I can't read the Packer one because, and I get it, it's your team, but you're always positive. I think it's easier to look at the negative and work towards the positive than it is to work to look at the positive and then go to the negative. Would you agree?
Well,
like, I can't sit there and look at a trade where they're dumping garbage. Oh, let's give them Max McGee's jock. And then let's give them Paul Hornung's helmet liner. Who the hell wants Marshawn Lloyd? He's done nothing. You don't know what he is. Yeah, let's just... How about Malik Willis? I mean, what are we doing here?
Well, I mean...
Are you with me or no?
I mean, but you also think that Myles Garrett's going to get traded for 6 first-round picks, which is just vastly incorrect.
2.
I don't think that's happening.
So, Gabe, what do you think is a logical, rational package to get Myles Garrett?
I mean, again, based off the Diana Rossini reporting from yesterday, where she put out there that a general manager told her he thinks it's going to be 1+. So 1+ a 2, 1+ a couple of 3s, 1+ a player. You know, I think a 1st, a 2nd, if you want to sprinkle a player in there, cool. I mean, I don't think it's going to be this huge Khalil Mack package that the Bears gave up however many years ago that was, 2017? You know, 8 years ago to go get Khalil Mack, because, well, Myles Garrett's older. He's going to require a new contract, and it's going to be a tough deal to do. So yeah, I don't think it's going to take that much. Okay, I don't think it's going to be 2 firsts.
Don't discount the stupidity of GMs in this league. Don't, because we've seen too much of it.
Sure, right? but I mean. Honestly, though, Chu, the problem is he wants to go to a contender. And theoretically, if you are a contender, you have a smart general manager, correct? Theoretically. Yeah. I'm not saying all are, but I'm just saying theoretically, if you're good, it's because your general manager has made good decisions. That factors into you being good and being a Super Bowl contender.
All right, maybe I made the mistake of going too far down the road too soon. Let's start at the very beginning. The first checkpoint is going to be whether or not the Browns actually do deal Myles Garrett. If you believe, and you're the Browns, that you can build around him, do you have any recourse not to? Do you have any recourse not to trade him? Or do you worry about a player, and we have talked about this in the NBA, and we saw guys like De'Aaron Fox get traded, got with Jimmy Butler is still pending, but like, do you have a situation in the NFL where a player gets so frustrated and so angry that they can force a trade, or is the team still pretty much in control?
Oh, the team's 100% in control. Like, you can't do, like, Jimmy Butler's doing whatever he's doing in Miami, and he's going to appeal, and he's going to win back whatever money he gets from being suspended and, you know, whatever fines are levied by the Heat before he gets traded before Thursday. The NFL, like, the owners have all the power. Okay, he doesn't show up for minicamp. All right, then he loses a workout bonus if he has that. Well, then what if he doesn't show up for the mandatory stuff? Guess what? He gets fined. Those things can't be rescinded. What if he doesn't show up for training camp? He gets fined. Those things can't be rescinded via the CBA.
Yeah,
but like, he doesn't have any power. We just saw this play out in Cincinnati with T. Higgins. T's like, yeah, trade me. Guess what T. Higgins did this year? Played out the entire season with the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, like, the NFL still has the power over the players. It's not the NBA, Chew, where if the Browns say, nah, we ain't trading you, he's got no choice.
Yeah, I know, but you said they're in cap hell,
yep.
And to trade Myles Garrett would put them...
further in cap hell.
Further in cap hell. So you think they're giving up... If they're going to put themselves in serious cap hell, you think they're going to go, well, give us a 1 and a 3.
I don't think...
That ain't going to get it done. They're going to say, give me 2 ones if we're going to go Denver on you guys. They're not going to take a fair deal.
I don't.
Because if it's a fair deal, they're not going to trade him.
Well, Chewy, this is why I don't think they're trading him. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Unless it's a sweetheart of a deal, which is 2 first-round picks.
No, which is not something that Brian Gutekunst, since we're talking about the Packers specifically.
No. By the way, Andrew Berry, their general manager, said he would not even entertain 2 first-round picks. Because they're not trading him. I don't think they're trading him. They're already $30 million over the cap. They would automatically have to incur $36 million more against their cap, and they don't have a lot of flexibility because of the contract they gave their quarterback. They don't want to continue to push money from his deal further into the future, so they have to deal with him longer than they want to. I don't think Myles Garrett's going anywhere.
I'm looking here from Spotrac. A post 6-1 trade would be $5 million in
cap post
saving.
But you actually have to do it post 6-1,
right.
Which means any draft pick from this year is not a part of that deal. That's the problem with that.
But
and they're going to want draft capital this year. They might want a little bit of draft capital
just
next
accelerate
year. They're not
going to
want everything from 2026 and beyond if they do it post June 1. Like I just don't see
them. Pre-6-1, it is a $16 million hit.
I know, but another point, Gabe.
No, it's a $36 million hit.
I'm saying savings. Sorry. They would be negative even more. So it's 36 total dead cap with a savings of minus 16, which is bad.
If you said he wants to go to a contender, if you said he wants to go to a contender, that's a first-round pick in the mid-20s.
Yeah,
Mid-low 20. They're not going to give up that. They're going to want two firsts if that's the case.
Well,
now, they may take a top 10 pick in a second, but they sure as hell ain't taking.
Well,
but again, the 25th pick in the draft. Means, unless you move up, it means you're not a contender. It means you're an El Stinko team. Okay, so Matt Schneidman from The Athletic put a proposal out there because they were asking, what are the teams that would be a good fit for Myles Garrett? And, of course, the Packers were mentioned. He proposed that the Packers send the Browns the 23rd pick in the 2025 draft, and that, of course, is Goody's prize pick. Draft in Green Bay. Again, just keep that in
Mark
mind.
Mark Murphy's prize pick.
That's what I meant. Mark Murphy's prize pick. Yep. And a conditional second rounder in the 2026 draft that would become a first if Garrett is a first team All-Pro in 2025. And, Chewy, Lucas Van Ness, a 2023 first rounder with plenty of potential who has yet to break out. Too rich for your blood?
No, I think that's realistic, minus Van Ness.
Yeah, I mean, you're just throwing Van Ness in because we're not going to play him once we trade for Myles Garrett. So you might as well have him. Go ahead and take
him. Maybe he'll be successful with you.
He's cheap.
I think that's fair.
But then you're giving up two first-round picks, one this year and one next year, because likely, Myles Garrett will be a first-team All-Pro.
I'd bet on it.
How old is Garrett?
He is 29.
How old was Reggie White?
Reggie might have been older.
Was he 31?
Reggie was 31.
Yeah.
Reggie was still in his prime. I mean, Garrett's going to get two first if they.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Chew. Like,
yeah, I agree with you, Gabe. They're not going to trade
you. You hate it. You hate it. Anytime anybody else compares somebody to Reggie, like Myles Garrett's really good. Like Myles Garrett's probably a Hall of Famer. He ain't Reggie, man.
No, he ain't Reggie. There
like,
is
that's
no Reggie.
That's the problem. Like trying to compare, because Reggie White was really good. He won Defensive Player of the Year in 1998 for you guys. He was past his mid-30s. When he won Defensive Player of the Year. Like, comparing him, like, well, I mean, if I trade for this guy now, I mean, LeBron James is still really good into his 40s. Like, no, that's...
He's the anomaly.
He's the anomaly. Reggie's the outlier there. I think that Myles Garrett probably has 3, maybe 4 years left of high-quality football.
I just keep going back to Brian Gutekunst standing there at the end of the season giving his press conference and saying there needs to be an urgency to win championships or something of that ilk. Then, Goody, you got to show it, man. And maybe it's not Myles Garrett. And obviously we have talked about other players who Packers fans would like to obtain to upgrade the team. Goody's got to make a move. In order to adhere to his philosophy of there is an urgency that has to extend to him as well. It cannot just be everyone else needs to work with an urgency. Everyone else needs to operate from a place of urgency. Not me, though. Not me. I'm going to stand pat. I'm going to use my draft picks. We're going to draft and develop just like Ted did. It feels like he needs to shake off that skin of what he has done and continue doing what we think will continue building this team towards a championship. We have Jason Wilde. He put together a great article on Wisconsin State Journal about Myles Garrett and Cooper Kupp, who you also, I'm sure, yesterday heard, is also likely on the move, although Gabe thinks Myles Garrett is not on the move. In fact, let's put that on the poll, on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Gabe doesn't think Myles Garrett is going anywhere and will continue to be playing for Cleveland in the upcoming season. Do you? Answer that question. We'll get to Jason Wilde right after this.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jason Wilde time here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Hello.
Hello. Or you could do the Mrs. Doubtfire. Hello.
Hello.
Very good. Very good. We are talking about Myles Garrett this morning. I read your article on the Wisconsin State Journal talking about Myles Garrett and Cooper Kupp. What does your gut tell you about either of those players being Green Bay Packers in the near future?
Yeah, probably not, right? But it's fun, and there are reasons to think that they would at least be interested, right? Like, I don't know what, you know, Cooper Kupp is 32. He would definitely not fit the Goody paradigm. On the other hand, he does have history with Matt LaFleur. I don't know what his market's going to be. The Packers have, in my opinion anyway, two question marks in terms of their wide receiver group. And maybe this is just me in helicopter beat writer mode again. But we all know Christian Watson, not till November. And that's the optimistic view, right? If we use TJ Hockenson as our template for when a guy who tears his ACL as late in a season as Christian Watson did could come back. But, you know, I want Romeo Doubs to be healthy and not have to worry about traumatic brain issues from these concussions. But when you have two concussions in a 7-week span, you get one while wearing a guardian cap, and you look the way he did as he left the field at Lincoln Financial Field, I have some concern for him, right? I mean, I'm sure it's the same as some of the beat writers that cover the Miami Dolphins and seeing the stuff with Tua. Now, Tua's was more severe. I understand that. But we don't know. I didn't get to talk to Romeo at locker room cleanout because he obviously was in the concussion protocol. But, you know, there's a question about that. And then add on top of that the fact that both Watson and, you know, Doubs are heading into contract years. You know, for a position that they stocked so heavily with six draft picks over two drafts, you know, two of those guys that are already gone, the later round, seventh round guys, are gone. And, you know, suddenly you're, as Ted Thompson used to say, you're one twisted ankle away from not being so deep at a position. Do I think that Cooper Kupp fits the mold? I don't, but his relationship with LaFleur, who absolutely loves him, gives me pause. As far as Myles Garrett, I've seen a lot of folks with a lot of opinions on this. I think my favorite one is Goody's not really good in the first round anyway. Why not trade the first round pick? I guess I don't have a complete problem with that theory other than that's not really how this works. But yeah, look, he would be a Reggie White-esque addition, not from the perspective, and Gabe and Tausch and I talked about this yesterday, not from the perspective of changing the view of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and the Packers. That's what Reggie did in addition to being a great player. But he could have a similar impact to what Reggie did. Problem with that one is not only do you have to give up the draft capital, but you are also going to have to sign him to a new contract. He just turned 29 years old, which is not old by any means, but that's a third contract situation. So I have my doubts that that's something that Goody would be willing to do.
Chewy?
I asked him a question. Jason?
This is your best question ever, and I didn't hear a word of it.
Oh, I said, can you give us a percentage on Goody making this move?
I mean, you know as well as I do that I'd be guessing, right? I mean, I don't know. Like, his answer, and Josh, he played it for us on our show yesterday when he was asked about the idea of giving up a premium draft pick for a veteran, you know, proven commodity type player. You know, he eventually goes into basically saying, we've never done that before. Like, Ron didn't really do it other than Favre, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Frankie was a plan B free agent, all that. Tad never did it. And obviously, Goody hasn't done it. I mean, Goody actually went so far as to point out that he's actually gone the other direction, right? Trading Adams, trading Rodgers, trading Rasul Douglas. Like, he's more likely to be the guy trading the player that someone else wants than he is to be acquiring a player via a trade. So, again, he loves his young, inexpensive talent, and Myles Garrett isn't any of those things. At the same time, Myles Garrett has 102.5 sacks. He had 14 last year, second most in the league in 2024. So he still has plenty left in the tank, and I completely understand why Packers fans are thinking, hey, let's do this. Like, the time has come for bold initiatives. And so I would love to tell those fans, yeah, I think it's probably 50-50, but I don't think it's that high.
Do you think the Browns actually pull the trigger and make a move, though? Because I'm at the point, Jason, where I just don't, it doesn't feel like Cleveland wants to trade him, is ready to trade him, and the money that they would have to absorb already for a team that has the second fewest, hey, what's up, Stella? The second fewest cap dollars available, because they're $30 million over the cap heading into 2025. Like, it doesn't seem like a deal is likely from their end.
No, I don't think it is. And again, they're also a team that has their GM having said, look, we're not trading him, right? Like, because this actually started after the season. Like, they went 3-14, obviously. They have completely bungled that quarterback situation with a player that now has had injury problems, in addition to all the off-the-field things that they knew about when they acquired him and gave him $236 million guaranteed. Like, I would challenge people to tell me worse moves in NFL history. That has to be, for a singular player, that has to be the worst. It's not like you traded away a bunch of assets for him. You just guaranteed a ton of money for a guy that plays the most important position and had character issues and now has not done anything really for you at quarterback. But if I'm Andrew Berry, like the GM of the Browns, I'm not moving this guy. Like, I would ask for the moon and see if I got it, and then I would have to say, oh, okay, I am getting the 3 first-round picks. Okay, now maybe I'll consider it. But otherwise, he does not strike me as someone who is impetuous. Like, I think the owner, right, Jimmy Haslam, certainly has some of that reputation. But unless the owner steps in, I just don't think that this is a likely deal.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. So the other detail here that a lot of people focus on is Mark Murphy's baby, Mark Murphy's draft in Green Bay in a few months. How realistic, legitimate of a concern is it that Murphy does not want to trade away that first round pick because that's kind of the crowning moment of having the draft in Green Bay? They will never get a Super Bowl, but the draft is coming there. And to give away that first-round pick. Now, again, my gut tells me that's managerial negligence. That's kind of goes against what you're supposed to do if you're Brian Gutekunst and company. But I do understand the human element of it, which is you want to parade out there. You want to stand on that stage. And you would not want to announce the first-round pick in Green Bay, you know, in the shadow of Lambeau Field, etc.
Yeah, I understand it too, but from a football perspective, if your football people deem this to be, and look, I joke about it all the time. Mark Murphy and I are not pals. He never really forgave me for asking what made him qualified to change the structure that had won Super Bowls under Wolf and Thompson, and not have the general manager hire the coach and be the ultimate, you know, arbiter of everything on the football side. And then he gave me his resume, and we were never the same again, which is fine because I get along with that policy great, and I look forward to his regime. But if that were to actually be a reason, if your football people decided, hey, this is the right thing for us, it's worth it, and I want to give Mark Murphy credit here, I don't think he would say, I don't care, we have the draft, we're going to make our pick, we're not going to trade it away. I just don't think he would do that if his football people honestly and seriously told him, look, we think this guy could be our Reggie White.
we think it's worth this. We've gotten, you know, these negotiations have gotten us to this point where we think we're getting this guy for below what it should cost us, but it is going to cost us the draft pick at our facility when we're hosting the draft. I don't want to believe that Mark Murphy would say, nope, we're not doing it. We got to make our pick because we've got the draft. I want to believe that he would not do that. And so I'm gonna support the guy who walks to the Hudson Center when he's leaving Ray Nitschke Field to avoid me at the same time that I'm leaving, and say that he would not do such a thing.
Jason, we saw Mark Murphy, not a big fan of the tush push. I hate the tush push. I don't know why they changed this rule. I don't like it. What do you say?
Yeah, I don't like it either. And I know they don't like it either, right? The league doesn't like it. But let's keep in mind that they now have in Green Bay, I don't know what you want to call it,
the Kraft mac and cheese. It's the Kraft mac and cheese.
It's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
What?
Whatever Jason. You want to call it, it works pretty well. And so, I don't think you should be. I think it's for a league that likes to pretend it cares about safety. Once again, I think this is another example of their hypocrisy, right? I mean, by the way, and I don't know what the rules were throughout your entire career, but I also don't think that, you know, Frank Winters should be pushing, shoving, yanking Dorsey Levens to get an extra yard or two. I just don't think that he shouldn't be allowed to do that. I think if you believe in player safety, you got a running back who's standing up and a bunch of fat guys throwing all their weight behind him in each direction, and he's getting Malachi crunched in the middle. I just don't think that's a good thing to do safety-wise. And when it comes to the tush push or the brotherly shove or whatever it is, the technical term for it, it's the same deal. And you're submarining defensive players. I think it should be a safety concern, and I think it should be eliminated.
Jason, quickly, you did mention Christian Watson earlier. Do we know if he's had his surgery yet?
Well, I don't know that. I think he would have by now. You know, obviously, they wanted the swelling to go down. There were some other issues there, too, I was told, besides just the ACL. So I don't know what all those were. But, you know, again, the timeline for him and the type of player he is, and I just feel terrible for the guy. Like, I still can't get over the fact that they basically admitted that if Romeo Doubs hadn't, you know, been sick, that they probably wouldn't have had him active. And then to have that happen, I mean, that talk about worst case scenarios, and then you lose the game on top of it. So I've not reached out to Christian to ask him where he's at. But my hope would be that he's had his surgery and he's at least on his way to recovery.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Is your business looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years and for the last 15 here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment. With your business in mind, Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions and work from a foundation of strong community connections. Commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of a right tackle.
I have a question. Yes. I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, if you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify. And Jason always brings good stuff. He wrote an article this morning about Cooper Kupp and Myles Garrett and the likelihood of the Packers getting either player. So let's pivot to Cooper Kupp, because Cooper Kupp yesterday announced on social media that he was informed that the Rams will be seeking a trade immediately and will be working with him and his family to find the right place to continue competing for championships. He doesn't agree with the decision. He always believed he would begin and end in LA, but it goes on for a little bit longer. Point is, Cooper Kupp will likely be shopped. I don't know strategically, guys, about this move. Why wouldn't the market just wait for the Rams to cut Cooper Kupp and then pick him up, as opposed to putting together a package for him, Gabe?
That's basically what's going to happen. Unless somebody puts together a conditional, like, sixth-round pick, conditional seventh-round pick, something very low because they want to beat everybody, you know, to the market. But at the same time, his contract is that where I can't imagine a team doing that. The Rams are just going to have to cut him, and somebody's going to pick him up for much cheaper than what he is scheduled to make in 2025.
He's hurt.
Correct.
He's always hurt.
Correct.
This does not. This is worse than the Devontae one. This just does not fit at all.
No, I'd at much all. Rather have Devontae than this guy.
Yeah. I mean, for the right price, right?
No.
For the right price?
No, so that's what I wanted to bring up, guys, because I understand the idea of just dismissing it outright. I get it. I could make that argument. I could be right there with you on that side of the boat. On the other hand, is there any value to just adding a veteran presence if you can get him on the cheap? If the Packers say to him, look, your health history, not great, but we need some leadership. We need somebody in there who can say, been there, done that, and has a proven track record of success to help usher these guys into the next phase of their career and our next phase of the success plan. Is there any value there of a guy like Cooper Kupp, who is notoriously a good guy, right? Like, across the board, nobody has a bad thing to say about Cooper Kupp. Chew, is there any value, if you can get him at a discount rate, to that significance or that element of him?
There is value, but when you're that player, you kind of have to tread lightly with the coach, because the coach ultimately wants it done his way, whether he's a good coach or a bad coach. So that's more of a behind the scenes. And who did I have? I had Andy. Yeah, I had Andy.
Yeah, your mortal enemy that you're not rooting for in the Super Bowl. Yeah, we understand.
It's boring. Just because it's boring. Frank's not.
But Frank doesn't credit Andy with the success that he had in his NFL career.
How much credit do you got to give the guy?
You're the one who gave him the credit, and now you're the one rooting against him.
Share the wealth. Share the wealth. So, Jen, back to your question. Keith is the one that would grab me behind the scenes and say, hey, think about this. There was no blocking advice at all.
And gotta Keith take a shot.
Keith didn't want any of my blocking advice. But, he taught me some things.
Yeah, you know, you told us a few weeks ago.
And Andy was completely fine with it. And that is the sign of a good coach. But some coaches get butthurt, you know? So that's just the way it is. Yeah. Do I think he would help? Would I sign Cooper Kupp for $6 million for the year? Yeah.
So here's the thing, Chu. You always talk about how you don't think that there is somebody in that wide receiver room who can teach route running or who can say, your route running is fine, but here's how it could be better. Cooper Kupp could be that guy.
Cooper Kupp could be that guy. Yes. Yeah, and from what I've seen, they kind of need that guy.
But couldn't Devontae also be that guy?
Devontae, yes, could also be that guy. But I think, do you want Devontae for...
Yes.
20-something million? Or
yes.
You want cool? See, I always go back to this.
I want somebody who's available, Chewy. I want somebody who's available. Somebody that when I'm going down the stretch season is going to be available because he's not hurt.
He's calling for a full.
I don't know what fight song that was, but someone
I thought it was the NBA theme song.
I don't know what it was. My dad was a big whistler. Yeah.
Like the two fingers?
No.
Oh, like
no,
a tune?
Just walk around the house. Oh. Hi-ho. You know, hi-ho.
I thought he was just trying to get all the kids who are just running around outside, letting them know dinner's ready.
Like Von Trapp?
Yeah.
This is what, can I talk now?
No.
This is what I go back to. Don Beebe was cheap, right?
Yeah.
Don Beebe couldn't play every game, couldn't start every game, but you saw what the guy can do against San Francisco, you know? He brings that's who I would want Cooper Kupp to be. Robert Brooks goes down with a torn ACL. Don Beebe has 225 receiving yards against San Francisco. You know? He's not going to play every game like that, but
no, just but he was
great
still
guy to have room.
He was available to you every game in case you needed him.
Sure.
Guess who's not going to be around every game in case you need him?
If you load manage him.
He's played the full allotment of games twice in his career.
You wouldn't want Cooper Kupp for $6 million.
No. No.
I would, man.
No. No, thank you.
I would.
Chewy, like, that's, to me, Cooper Kupp, paying $6 million for Cooper Kupp, that's like you being, I mean, to me, that's another Sammy Watkins edition.
You're saying, like, lighting $6 million on fire?
Yeah.
So let's just say, Gabe, that because I think that your argument right now is contingent on Davante Adams being available, which we believe he will be, and the Packers pulling the trigger and making that happen. What if the Packers don't get Davante Adams? What if he goes somewhere else? Would you accept Cooper Kupp as a consolation prize?
No. No, he's just, if this is the exact guy that Goody stays away from. This is the exact reason why Goody doesn't like paying guys over 30. Because he wants people to be available. If you are going to pick up a free agent of any kind, he wants you to be able to play. And we don't know if or when Cooper Kupp is going to, I can tell you at some point it's going to happen, he's going to get hurt and he's going to miss games. And is that going to be an important stretch in the middle of the season when you're trying to chase down the Lions?
How is that any different than Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs or Jaden Reed? Obviously not to the same extent, but like guys miss games.
Yeah, for Christian Watson, sure, which is why Goody probably ain't going to give him a contract extension.
I mean, who's a receiver that makes $6 million? $6 million for a receiver is nothing, you know?
Yeah,
it's nothing.
Don't have that list in front of me.
I know, but I mean, the upside is like, yes, it's a gamble. I agree, Gabe. But I think the top side is a lot more valuable than the bottom side. Ah, you lose $6 million. Who gives a crap? You know? But he's got the potential to be a Don Beebe and fill in there. I'm not saying he's a starter, but he certainly could be the zebra. Not for every game, but if I just, because he was good, right? There was a time when he was really good.
Yeah. You know when that was?
3 years ago?
Yeah. 2021.
When he helped him win a Super Bowl?
Yeah. 4 years ago.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got to get to Superb Owl Squares.
That's what he's played. 9-12-12 since the Super Bowl year.
I see 17 games on here as well.
That's 2021. Okay. That's it. And then since then, it's 9-12-12.
Oh, okay. So these numbers go backwards.
The last four regular season games. One reception, 29 yards. Three receptions, 24. Zero receptions, 0 yards. 592.
Sounds just like some of the Packers lines in some of the recent.
Yeah, Gabe, take that.
Yeah, so why do I want another one? I've got a bad car. Why do I buy another lemon? Don't I want to upgrade? Something that's going to get me from A to B?
Again, I'm not saying that I'm locked in on this. I'm not saying that we should absolutely be going after Cooper Kupp. I'm saying there might be value there, particularly if you don't get a Davante Adams. I am very adamant about needing some veteran leadership in that room. Chewy has talked about the route running. Chewy has talked about that there's always a value and a benefit to having somebody in there who can show a young group how it gets done. Cooper Kupp has that on his resume. I know that the health history scares you a little bit, Gabe. A lot of it, Gabe.
Yeah,
a lot of it. I want to be accurate.
Yeah,
scares you a lot.
Scares me the entire way.
We got to take a break. We've got Superb Owl Squares coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So get your dialing fingers ready. 800-990-3776. Your first chance to win 10 squares on our Superb Owl Square game right after this.
X-Golf located at American Family Field is open year-round. Was just out there last night. State-of-the-art simulators. They're going to make sure that your game stays sharp. So when the weather finally turns and ready to play outside, you're ready to go and, you know, maybe take a buck or two off your pals. But what's cool about an X-Golf inside of American Family Field is, yeah, it's just that. Inside AmFam Field, overlooking left field, it is just such a cool and unique space with a great full menu, great bar options as well. It's just a good place to go, hang out, have some lunch. Maybe you're in charge of hosting a corporate event. Contact X-Golf at American Family Field and you will have an event you won't regret. Find out more. Book your sim today. X-Golf, AmFamField.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this
did
elite
we drink the
defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid.
and we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chance to win superb owl squares. 800-990-3776. That, of course, our carbless talk and text line. List is more. First up today, AJ in Heartland. AJ, are you ready to play superb owl squares?
I'm ready.
All right, AJ, who was the Chiefs' starting quarterback in Super Bowl I?
Is that Len Dawson.
Len Dawson is a correct answer.
Right out of the gate with the answer.
I love historians of the game.
Well, because you think that nobody knows history except for you.
Yes, because I was going to do, and Joshy shot it down immediately, I was going to do top 10 worst trades in NFL history.
For power rankings.
And you guys wouldn't have got like three or four of them. Which would have been a good list, right?
Where does Deshaun Watson rank on that list?
He was 5.
What? What?
Wow,
but you know what?
Higher. I mean, I'm sure the Herschel Walker trade. I mean, the Herschel Walker trade.
That was one. That was one. Give me the Packer one.
That's on there? Oh, they...
Other than Brett, because it was a knock on the Falcons, but give me the Packer one.
So Brett was on there, right? For the Falcons.
Yep.
They had a bad one where they traded away for...
Come on, think. Give me that Horicon knowledge.
I mean, it's easy for you to say you had the list in front of you. Would you have known that? Would you have guessed this trade if you hadn't seen the list?
Yes. Before I came to Green Bay, no. You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
John Hadle. You wouldn't have got that.
No.
Jen, would you have gotten?
I don't even know who John Hadle is.
They traded a first-round pick for John Hadle, right?
He's a quarterback.
And he played, two games for the Packers. They traded, had the number one overall pick.
Does Aaron Rodgers now deserve to be in the top five, you think?
Of all time?
Wait, bad for the Jets?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Why?
Because the Packers got a second-round pick.
But they're talking about for the Jets.
I'm not
Jets.
Saying for the Packers. I'm saying for the Jets.
Yeah, it was a second-round pick. Top five all-time worst trade?
I thought it was a first. It was two first rounds. What are you
pick
insane?
Swap in a second?
It was a pick swap in a second, yeah,
and a first round pick.
Well, but the Packers also gave up their first round pick.
But they would have gotten a first round pick if he had played a certain number of games. Of course, he didn't
because
of the Achilles.
And he didn't. So it was basically a pick swap and a second round pick.
Okay, so that wasn't bad. All right.
I mean, I mean, were they hoping for more out of Rodgers? Yeah. Do I think it's a top five worst trade of all time? No.
Before we go to break, Gabe, remind people how Superb Owl Squares works and that we will do it again in about an hour.
So we have now given away three, so 7 more chances to win. Whoever answers a trivia question correctly gets 10 squares. Those will be randomly assigned by Joshy. The numbers will be randomly assigned after we have everybody on the squares board. And basically, you have a 1 in 10 chance of winning our grand prize, which is going to be a fun little prize pack we're going to tell you about later this week as we continue to put it together.
Ron in the Key says, I love historians of the game too, but I think AJ and yesterday's winner were both googling.
That was pretty fast, was it not?
That was pretty fast.
Yeah.
So you disagree with Ron and the Key is what I'm picking up?
Yeah. And
Packers fans know about...
So we've got Len Dawson. The correct answer is only quarterback to go 0-4 in the Super Bowl. I don't think anybody Googled that. I think the guy just got
General
Jim Kelly.
General knowledge.
Yeah, he just got Jim Kelly. Player who won MVP of Super Bowls 1 and 2 was Bart Starr. I don't think there was Googling.
Let's be honest. We've heard people cheat on top 8 at 8, and it is dead obvious.
Yeah. I don't think these were obvious.
Well, because you know what they do. They weave in a, let me think.
Well, because they get one or two right, and they're like, oh, man, those were the only two I had.
Yeah, but I appreciate
you know what I
this.
Love? I do love the people, too, who are cheating, and then they
rattle them off.
No. I like this nuance. They're cheating. They rattle off a couple, and then they know that if they get the next one, it's going to be wildly obvious that they were cheating, so they bow out gracefully. And they're like, that's all I got. And you're like... Okay, points for integrity. We'll take a break here.
That.
Yeah, you do. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still lots to get to in the second hour, plus another opportunity for you to win on Superb Owl Squares.